This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Abide. A young couple are getting married this Saturday. They will take vows to abide with one another. A family of six moved into a new home last Friday. They signed the lease, and they agreed to abide there. A man accepted a large construction job. The deposit was given to him, and he contracted with the owners to abide on that job until completed. Two young men mourn the passing of their father, a legend in the surfing community. They find comfort in the constancy of the ocean, always have, just like their father. They abide by the sea. The leaders of North and South Korea are talking peace, supposedly. The world watches, and especially the everyday people who call these countries home, hoping, praying, their leaders will abide in that peace. The earth, all of creation, gives us, her inhabitants, sign after sign of distress, cries out, hoping we humans will finally understand that saving creation, saving the earth, means saving ourselves. Oh, if they would only abide with me in compassion and synergy, appreciating God's great gift. For the most part, the people of this church choose to abide with one another, encouraging one another to abide in God's mission for this place. Two women have been friends for decades. One calls the other in agony because her son has relapsed back into his cocaine addiction. She calls because she knows her longtime friend knows what it's like to be the mother of an addict. Her friend hopes that this man will agree to abide, really abide, in a treatment facility and then rehab, and most importantly, will learn to abide in the guidance of his higher power for deep and true healing. We abide in many, many ways in our lives. This Greek word meno also means to remain, to stay, to journey with, to connect to be true to. We remain, we're true to, we journey with contracts, with our church, with relationships, with each other, and yes, with the earth. We abide by rules. We abide in work, marriage, friendships, all the examples that I listed. On the other hand, we also can abide in a bad attitude, a grudge. We can abide in boredom or dishonesty or greed or pride. We can abide in pessimism and fear. Or we can hear what God is saying to us in our scripture about this abiding. I could not ignore it today, obviously. That word, abide, is mentioned 14 times in the second reading and in the gospel today by John. And then, no coincidence, not including the two times Jesus refers to his readers as beloved, the word love is mentioned 26 times. I think there might be a connection here. It's nothing to say that John says God is love if we don't hear that. God is love. So when he speaks of abiding in this vine, abiding with God, he's speaking of abiding in love, remaining in love, being true to love, being committed to this love in that abiding. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, says, if it's not about love, then it's not about God. Pretty simple, but not easy, because there's a warning. If we start really committing, really abiding in this kind of love, we also have to hear loud and clear that this kind of love is agape love. Not some greeting card, sappy, superficial love, but unconditional, never-ending, deep, self-giving, forgiving, humble, authentic love. And that's the good news that we're supposed to be sharing with everyone in the world. And God knows we need it. I say warning because none of this abiding and this kind of love happens without pruning. Pruning. Without us being vulnerable to be pruned. Well, my grandpa knew a lot about pruning. He was a tree surgeon. You don't hear that occupation too much anymore, but he was a tree surgeon up in Wisconsin. He was a master at what he did, so he had many, many customers. And one year when he was visiting, way many years ago, I was living in South Delray, and in the backyard was this great orange tree. At least it had been for years and years and years. Perfect color, and the juice was great. It produced lots of fruit. And then the fruit became kind of pithy, and the branches got all tangly. And so I said, Grandpa, can you take a look at my tree? I don't know what to do about it. And he said, well, sure, I'll look at it. And he said, I'm going to need some pruning shears and a bow saw. And I said, okay, well, I've got that. Brought it out and started to prune, started to look at that tree. And he said, you know, Wendy, if we're going to save this tree, I'm going to need a few more things. I said, oh, okay. Well, what are you going to need? He said, I'm going to need a chisel, a hammer, some cement, and an 8-foot length of board just 3 inches wide. I said, well, okay. So we went, got the supplies, brought it back. And I stood back in amazement as he starts chiseling away at the trunk of this tree, and he makes a slit 3 inches wide all the way down. And then he chiseled out the whole inside of that tree. I thought, he's killing my tree here. But I trusted him, so I waited and I watched. Then he places this board down the trunk of the tree, and he poured the cement in the middle of my tree. Well, I didn't know what was going on, and he said, you just wait. He taught me that the center of the trunk is only for support, and that the outer layers of the tree trunk is where the tree gets its nutrition when the xylem goes up and the phloem comes down, and that the tree would be just fine. And so I waited. Well, my grandpa was right. And that tree not only survived, but thrived, concrete and all. And eventually produced great oranges. If he had not fortified it, hadn't carefully pruned the tangled branches so that it could receive air and light, not only would it have continued to produce poor fruit, it would have died. And so it is with us. We must be fortified by abiding in Christ. Remaining with him, resting in his love, in this agape love. And we have to allow ourselves to be pruned, as hard as it is. And we've all got stuff, and it's hard to look at it, really hard. If we're willing, though, that's how we let in more light and healing. It's not all wine and song, this vineyard. When we choose to abide in love, everything unlike that love, everything unlike God, is going to become more and more evident, bubbles up to present itself for healing. We begin to realize when we start abiding that maybe the way we speak to somebody is not okay, or maybe talk about somebody is not okay anymore. We realize that we need to prune from our lives other areas in which we may have been abiding, say too much focus on money, or power, or possessions, or work, or selfishness, stress over status, or appearances, or our lack of compassion. It takes courage to really look at ourselves, but we need not fear, because we're also told today what? Perfect love casts out fear. That's how powerful this agape love is. As we abide in love, grudges that we hold will be in our face and so uncomfortable that we'll realize maybe forgiveness is possible. Maybe I can begin to ask God to help me forgive. And perhaps fortified by abiding in Christ, we may even get some help from other people to do that. We need each other in this vineyard. There isn't just one branch. We need each other to stay close to the vine. If you know somebody who used to come to church and doesn't anymore, give them a call. Be bold in letting them know they're missed. Next week, invite somebody to come to church with you. Tell them this is a place they will feel loved and nurtured and challenged to grow into their highest selves. Their highest selves. I love to tell the following story whenever this gospel comes around every 3 years. I think it's been 6 since I've told it. So if you've heard it, forgive me, because it's worth repeating. A member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the preacher decided to go and give him a visit. It was a chilly evening. The preacher found the man at home, knocked at the door. Guy lets him in, and he had been sitting before a big, beautiful fire. And so he invites him in, and guessing the reason for his visit, they settle down. The guy gets ready for a big lecture from the preacher, but he didn't say anything. And so they sat in silence. And in that grave silence, the preacher contemplated the dance of the flames around the burning logs. And after some minutes, the preacher took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side on the hearth all by itself. And then he sat back in his chair, still silent. As the one lone ember's flame flickered and diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and dead. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. The preacher glanced at his watch. He realizes it's time to leave. He slowly stood up, and then he leaned over, and he picked up that cold, dead ember, and he placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately, it began to glow with the light and the warmth of the burning coals around it. As the preacher reached the door to leave, his host said, with a tear running down his cheek, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I shall be back in church next Sunday." Where are we abiding? Where are we putting down roots? To what are we connected, committed? Jesus says, "I abide in the love of my Father. I abide in you. Abide in me. Abide in my love." Amen.